Amen. So we have been talking about the subject of relate, and we've been talking about relationships. And if you didn't notice, Mike Hunter was kind enough to make this love God, love people. So we're super excited about that. So thank you, Mike, for cutting those all out. And so that's what we're all about, loving God and loving others. He said the greatest commandment is to love God and love others. He said all the other laws and all the other requirements or whatever, they flow around these two ideas, love God with everything and love other people. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do, endeavoring to talk about. So we talked about the first week about how many times what we look at is the things not to do as Christians. We have the list of all the bad things, and we tell you all the bad things. Many of you people grew up in a world where that was, when you went to church, they just bashed you for like an hour and a half while he sweated and spit and all that kind of stuff. And he told you how terrible and awful you were, and you were supposed to leave rejoicing for some reason. And but the truth is, yeah, those things, there are things that we're supposed to pull away from, and there are things that we're supposed to say no to. God definitely has his definition, not the world's definition, but his definitions of right and wrong. And we are, like him or not, we're subject to him because he is the creator. Amen. And we are not. And so, yes, there are the things that we're not supposed to do, but there's a whole list of things that we are called to be. And many of those things are in the area of relationships. And so we talked about that the first week. And then we talked last week about the condition of your heart. And before I get started in our message this week, I want to really reiterate the scripture says that guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. For your life, what you do, many things, many times with what we see in our world is the meanness on people and on the arguments and the breaking up of relationships are dealt with people's hearts, right? They're into their hearts, wounded hearts, broken hearts, things that have gone on in their past and all of those other things. There are these issues of the hearts. And let me just say, and the way to clear that up is to know and to rest assured that you are loved by God, that your identity here. And here we have a whole generation that we're seeing with a wrong identity. And they have their identity. There's grasping for identity in every different kind of way. And God says, just have your identity. When you have your identity in me, when you have your heart whole because your identity is in me, the life flows out of it. So everything I'm going to say this morning is based on the understanding that the greater we are rest and secure in the love of God, the better we're going to be in our relationships with others. Right? And so all of those things are ride on the idea that you are secure in your love. And as we get into some of these things, we're going to get really practical this morning. So I love practical. That was last week. Okay. So I want to talk about, how old am I turning this? 53? How old am I? 53? I mean, 54. 54 years, I'll be 54 years old. Whew. Oh my goodness. Okay. AARP coming soon. Oh my goodness. Hey, come on. But you know what? There are, and I will say this, the greatest thing about getting older, getting older, is there are things, I've been living flat out for Jesus since I was 21 years old. So just all in. And I have sat through so many sermons, so many messages, so many teachings, Bible studies. I went to Bible school, all the things. And I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot in my life in dealing with people. I was youth pastor for a long time, young adult pastor for a long time. That means I dealt with parents of youth. And I dealt with them. Dealing with people like a lot of my Christian life. And so I've learned a lot of things, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I just want to name three big things as I was talking to Julie about. I said, I just want to get really practical. And so she asked me this question. She said, what are three things that you've learned that are kind of the core about like kind of who you are and how you've learned how to deal in relationships. And I've had to learn them. I've had to learn them. How many of you, we have any basketball fans in the room? We got basketball fans in the room? So actually, I heard this guy, his name is Giannis. He plays for the Milwaukee Bucks this week. And yeah, but I like Giannis. He's a good dude. He's the Greek freak, as they call him. But so here they are. They're the number one seed in the NBA. And they got beat by the lowest seed in the first round. And this guy is like one of he's like one of the premier basketball players in the NBA. And they interview him right after the game, like right after the game. Don't you love that? Here, you just had this worst defeat. Put a microphone in front of you and say something profound and try not to make people mad and judge you and all that stuff. Gosh, God help these poor people. But so Giannis, they asked this question. They said, Giannis, he said, so you just got beat. And this is like, you know, obviously this is terrible. He said, do you consider this whole year a failure? That is a stupid question. So this was his answer. This was the maturity of this guy. He looks at the guy. He face palms for about 5 seconds going, I'm not going to tear this guy's head off. And he looks at him and says, he says, every year, he has this really cool Greek accent. He says, every year, he says, when you go, you do your job. He says, do you get a raise every year? Do you get a promotion every year? He goes, no, you don't. I mean, he's kind of chewing the guy out a little bit. He goes, no, you don't. He goes, was that last year a failure? He says, no, you gained experience. You gained this. You provided for your family and all this. And so he says, even though we lost, he says, every year it's a step to learn and get better. He says, never, it's never a failure. He says, winning is not just the total goal, which made probably his whole fan base hate him. But he said, winning is not just the goal. It's what you learn in the process. He said, Michael Jordan played in the NBA for how many years? Like 15 years. He won 6 championships. He says, does that mean 9 of his years were failures? No. And the guy went, whoo, he shut up. Plus the guy's like, 7'3" or something and like massive human. But that's kind of the way kind of we do life. We are all living and learning in our walk with God. All of us are living and we're all in different places with our walk with God. And so since I have a mic, I can tell you like some of the 3 things that I've learned. And this is not I just wanted to share some 3 things that I've learned as I've lived and I've walked with people. And I've walked with God, and I've tried to have God's life and God's values and the way God thinks about others instilled in me. So I just want to share those. So the first thing, we're going to start off with a bang. You ready? We're going to read the scripture first, and then I'll say what it is. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Paul's writing to the Philippians. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather the interests of others. See, that one of the first things that you'll learn is that we are called as believers. And if you're not a believer, then this doesn't apply to you. But as believers, we're called to certain things. Amen? We're called out to be different. Are we on the same page? Right? We're on the same page. We're called out to be different. That's why we shouldn't always just judge the world. Because the world's the world. But you become a follower of Jesus, now there's a different standard of living. We're called to be different than the world, right? And so one of the things that we're called to is this idea of putting others first. Before yourself. Let me get some Jesus quotes before I get stoned here. Mark chapter 10. I told you we're going to start off with a bang. Jesus, and Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus called them over and said, you know, those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, lord over them. And those in high positions act as tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to be the greatest among you will be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you will be slave to all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served. It's powerful. But to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It was said so well this morning in the class that Jesus had all this authority, all this power, and all this, you know, they talk about how Jesus had authority over the demonic. He had authority when he spoke, and he had authority, but he used his authority not to be a tyrant and not to be controlling, but to use that to serve. He used it to be a blessing everywhere he went, to encourage, to build up everywhere he went. So we're going to start off with a bang. So the first thing is like others first. Don't be selfish. Selfishness is the destroyer of relationships. So how did I learn this? Marriage. You know what? I call marriage, it's the greatest discipleship program ever invented by God. It is the greatest. You want to grow in a relationship? Get married. And marry somebody completely different from you. From a different part of the United States than you. Completely different. So in the early days, I just want to, and so a lot of this is this. So Julie has her own story. I'm going to tell my part of the story because she, what's that? Yeah, because I have the mic. So here's the deal. Here's the reality of the early days of our marriage. This is a reality. I was the big deal. And Julie was part of my supporting cast. I was the big deal. And it was about me. And it was about my needs and all this other stuff. And Julie was just kind of the supporting character in the narrative of my life. She would win best supporting actress in the story of me. And you know what's crazy? I was oblivious to it. Completely oblivious to it. I was just doing my thing. I was not a good husband in the beginning of our relationship. Julie took care of like almost everything. And I took care of the things that I wanted to take care of. Those are facts. Those are just the way it was. So we're all growing and we're all learning in this thing. Even in other relationships, like I had this attitude and a lot of it, it stemmed, not to make excuses, but I'll make excuses, but it stemmed from this, if anybody's going to make something happen, it's got to be me. You know, you lose your dad and all that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden it's on you, and you got to take care of it, you got to make it happen, right? So I'm just doing stuff, I'm trying to make I'm trying to get a living, and I know, and in the back of my mind, if you asked me, I would say, yeah, I'm doing it all for my family, yeah, 100%. I gotta provide for my family. But also, really, it comes down to where you just start using other people to help you become a better person and fulfill the narrative of your own life. And much of the early days of my marriage was like that. I just, I loved, and she was cute. She still is cute. She's cute. And I knew I was blessed. And people would say, man, you married out of your league. I'd say, yeah, you're right, I did. But in practical everyday life, behind the scenes, I was just doing my life. And I knew Julie was taking care of the rest with no regard to her needs, her wants, her, you know, every once in a while I'd buy her flowers or, you know, throw a bone or something. Here you go, Julie. Hey, I appreciate you. It's Mother's Day. Hey, I appreciate you. It's our anniversary. There you go. There you go. Have some flowers. With no regard. No regard. And so a lot of that changed when you, Brian Regan, if you know Brian Regan, it's one of my favorite comedians. Brian Regan's hilarious. He does this whole skit, and it's called The Me Monster. You know the meme monsters? The meme monsters in your world? Well, the meme monster shows up whenever you tell a story and they use this phrase, that ain't nothing. Thank you. Thank you for my little story that means nothing. And it was a great accomplishment, but evidently, according to you, meme monster, it's nothing. Right? The meme monsters in your world that just like, they're all about them, you know? Actually, he does the whole skit. I'm not going to try to do it, but he does, he does this whole skit about how he wishes he was the guy that was the first person to walk on the moon. He goes, because then, like, you're the guy. Like, nobody can ever say that ain't nothing to you. Like, oh, yeah, you were telling that story about how you were going so fast on the Autobahn. He goes, yeah, I remember when I was on my lunar rover on the moon. But you have these people, the that ain't nothing people, the me monsters. They want to control the room. They want to control the conversations. And so, in my life, I've had to learn that my life, there's amazing people around me and amazing people that God loves, and to be able to take your eyes off yourself, to be able to let somebody else have the moment to shine when you sit back and just let them have it. Let them have the floor. Let them own the moment. They tell their story. They tell their just be careful in our Bible studies and stuff. Because like you're like, well, they're gonna finish up their little revelation over here, and I can't wait to get my big one in. I'm not gonna say that ain't nothing, but when I finish, they'll understand that ain't nothing. Because of my revelation of the Holy One that I have. I mean, I don't live any of that out in my regular life. However, I do know all these things, right? It's the me monster. It's all about me. Like everybody around me and my supporting casts. The truth is that God is, it's the story of God. It's not even my story. This is his story for me, right? And we're all supporting casts in his story, equally part of his story. So that's the biggest thing. And then some of these things will, and you know what you have to know? I'll go back to it. You have to know that you're loved by God, and you don't need to be the me monster. I don't need the accolades of other people. I can give myself away, and in the giving of myself away for others, especially my wife, then actually, life is good. It's amazing how better our relationship got when I figured out that, oh yeah, there's Julie. That's amazing. She's an amazing person, right? And so, I mean, it did come at the almost cost of losing her. So I don't want that to happen to anybody. But thank God that through that, I went, oh, I'm about to lose the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I'm not gonna do it. I'm not doing it anymore. And I remember saying this, like, some of y'all know, I talked about Joyce Meyer last week, but Dave Meyer is Joyce Meyer's husband. And I remember in my mind, I go, in those times, I was like, I'll be Julie's Dave Meyer, and she can go do whatever. Like, something about those things that changes you from your core. And you start appreciating, you start seeing people differently. So number one, these have nothing to do with each other. Well, they do in relationships. Put others' needs first. Here we go. The next one is this. Number two is own your part. Own your part. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He says this, "The one who conceals his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy." So what am I talking about when I talk about own your part? What I mean by owning your part is in every relationship that we all have, whether it's our coworkers, whether it's whoever, In every relationship that we have, when things go awry, there's part of that that's on you. There's part of that problem that's on you many times, most of the time. It's on you. And so what I'm asking, what we're saying is own your part of that. Own your part. That, see, when you own it, and when you're, like Proverbs says, when you're able to confess your part and renounce them, you'll find mercy. But if you conceal your sin, you won't prosper. So if there's things that are you are doing that are there are things that are destroying relationship, we need to own that part and quit doing the well, but they do, and we point our finger. And like I said last week, if they would just do this, then I would do this. That's not biblical. That's not Jesus. Aren't you glad that's not Jesus? Whenever they get their lives straight, I'll save their sins. Right? He's first. So this is another personal story. But so, and I've talked about it before, and actually I called Wes. I said, hey man, I'm going to tell part of our story. Is that okay? He was like, yeah, sure, whatever, Dad. You know, go for it. And I'm so grateful for my relationship with my son now. So me and Wesley, I guess how old is he? About 16 during all those times. We just kept, we're kind of both kind of guys. And we're both kind of hard-headed. We're both totally stubborn. And there was a time where he just didn't even want to be around me anymore. He just didn't want to talk to me. He didn't want to, it was really hard. It was, he didn't want to talk to me. He didn't want to, and then I blamed it on like, well, you know, Wesley's not a big fisherman. He doesn't really like to go fishing, which I don't understand. Like, how does anybody not like to go fishing? Like, so like, he doesn't like to fish. And the things he liked, I didn't really like. And there's something in me that was like, you know, I just want to do something with my kid. And like, I'm feeling rejected by my own kid. And I'm feeling all this stuff that goes on in your head. And that just made it worse and compounded it worse and worse and worse. And, man, it was really bad. Like, Wesley did not want anything to do with me. I would ask him to go with nope. And so I remember it dawned on me as a pastor that I should pray about that. Hey, I should probably pray. And so I began to pray, and the Lord started revealing things. So my prayers to change him, Lord, began to let me fix some things that are in you. And God started revealing to me I'm not going to say all the personal things, some really personal things. But some of them were just the fact that I was just hard on him. Like, nothing was ever good enough. You know, there was no thank you. There was no this. There was no, he cut the grass when he tell you how he did it wrong. Hey, you missed over here. You missed over there. And I'm like, and so nothing was ever good enough. And I began to think, well, I wouldn't want him to be around me either. Overbearing, I was demanding, not just zero grace. And God began to, and parents, this is a key one. God began to make it very clear during that time that my job was not to fix my son. My job was not to fix him. But my job was to father him. And even in my own fatherlessness, my job was to father him. And he began to teach me, God began to teach me how to be a father to my son. And the things I have done wrong, my job was to fix me. My job was to own my part in that. So like I said, he didn't like fishing. So I was out. I tell you what, he did like to go saltwater fishing because he doesn't like, you know, I mean, he likes salt because there's like a gazillion fish in the ocean. And like, you can literally throw a hook out in certain places, you'll catch something, right? And like Altoona is not like that. Am I telling the truth, Dennis? It's work. It's work. You got to know what you're doing. And many times I don't. And Wesley was not all about that. But he did like video games. But he didn't even like the video games I liked. And he did like to eat wings. He did like to eat wings. Now we got that in common. So what did I begin to do? I began to go play video games. And I would go and get trounced by my 17-year-old and my 18-year-old. And because he's a hockey guy. My son is a hockey guy. Like, there's another thing. He didn't even like him. He's not a really big football fan. I'm like, are you my son? Like, what? Get switched in birth or something? Like, what's the deal? Like, it's in my DNA to love football. And my son's a hockey fan. You know what I became? A hockey fan. Yeah. Yeah. I do like some hockey. But he would like to play, you know, his video games. I'd go down there and play with him, and he'd beat me. And it was crazy. When we began doing it, he wouldn't even talk to me while we'd play. But I just play with him. Because I'm owning my part. I have to do things to fix my relationship with my son. And you know what my son didn't want me to do? Well, you know what, Wesley? Your dad's been really wrong. Can we just sit having a little talk? Have a little sweet little talk about you and me and blah, 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 and our relationship. And like a 16-year-old, 17-year-old boy does not want to talk about his relationship with his dad. You know what he wants? His dad. Yeah. To be a dad. And so I'd take him, man, it cost me a fortune. Because wings are not cheap anymore. And that boy, let me tell you, that boy can put away some wings and shrimp. Go get shrimp around that kid. Man, it's done. It's done. Over. So, you see, like, I began to pursue my son's heart because I owned what I had done wrong. I wasn't trying to fix him anymore. It wasn't about me. It was about my son. And honestly, and I don't know how this is going to land, but for me, I was like, my son's 17 and the time's ticking when he's not going to be in my house anymore. And I got some time space where I got to work on this relationship with him. And so I said, Julie, all the discipline and all that stuff, it belongs to you. I got to fix my son. I got to fix my relationship, not my son. I got to fix my relationship with him. Does that make sense? Because I owned my own part. You know, I had a pastor that was a pastor up in Canton. His name was Joe Dover. And he said something. I don't even know if he'd ever remember even. No, he said it a lot, now that I think about it. He used to say this. He said, I used to be afraid that people would correct me. He said, now I'm afraid they won't. I used to be afraid that people would correct me. Now I'm afraid that they won't. Like, there's things in our own lives. We need to be comfortable with correction. With correction. And let me just say, I have a philosophy that I think it would be good for me to just share. I have a philosophy about criticism. You know, when you're somewhat public and people see you and all that stuff, people always have opinions about you and about life and about church and about things, the way things are going. You know what? When I wasn't a pastor, I had opinions about how the pastor should do this, pastor, and then it all changed. I was telling AJ about this earlier, and it all changed when you become the pastor. And you go, oh, that's why they do all that stuff. Oh, I get it. But that was this philosophy. That any criticism I get, I take it to the Lord. I take it to the Lord. And even this, watch this, even if it's harsh, even if it's done out of anger, even if it's done out of any resentment, anger, just chewing me out, I take it to the Lord. And I ask this question, God, I am secure. Because why? I am secure in God's love for me. Their anger, whatever. Your anger, your emotion, that's on you. Now, what you said, God, is any of that true? And that's another level, right? But is any of that criticism true? Is it right? And so so if you come and say something, I'm going to take it to the Lord. Lord, is any of that true? Is there anything that I missed? Because, you know, we all have our blind spots. All of us do. I have my own blind spots. I get in this zone, and there's blind spots everywhere. So if somebody criticizes you, we're all growing. Like, none of us have arrived. The wrong thinking as you journey in life, it's okay. You can think wrong. And God along the way will bring people in your life to help you, to grow you, to encourage you, to criticize you, to chew you out, to yell at you. And I'd take those things to the Lord. And I asked the Lord, was I wrong? And many times God would say, yep. See, I'm not responsible. I'm not always responsible for the log that's in somebody else's eye. I'm responsible for the speck that's in mine. He says, actually, you take that speck out, then you can see clearly. And like, again, all of it boils down to this. If I'm secure in the love of God, if I'm secure in that God loves me just the way I am, and God is okay with the process of me growing into the person that God's called me to be, I'm okay with criticism. I'm okay with it. Now, if it's hatred and anger, and God is amazing, he gives you the filters with all of that stuff, that I can filter through that, I'm not receiving that. That's mean. That's just being a jerk. That's da da da. But what's the truth? Make sense? And so I'm telling you, once you understand that you are loved by God, once you understand that you are secure in his love, you can receive criticism. And you can filter it through what God shows you about that. Amen? Last one. The last of the top three is this. Be an encourager. A pastor that I had, he used to say this. He says, you're either a maximizer or a minimizer. You're a maximizer or a minimizer by what you say and what you do. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, it says, pleasant words are a honeycomb. Yeah, I love honeycomb. Sweet to the taste and health to the body. And this is not, and I know where a lot of us are charismatic, and I know we talk about, yeah, yep, you just got to speak the word. Yeah, that's true. But it's also true when you speak over other people. They're sweet to the taste and health to their body. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. You know what we should be doing? If we believe, like we see the world around us crumbling, right? We see the world around us going crazy. We all agree. Don't need to even preach on it. We see it all around. You guys watch enough YouTube, watch enough news to see that. Probably way too much. But you know what we should be doing? You know what the scripture says we should be doing? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. Hear that? Let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting the gathering together as some are in the habit of doing. This is what we're supposed to be doing when we see the world going crazy. Don't neglect the gathering. But encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Like, we are supposed to be the body, and this is really spoken to Christians, one another, that we're supposed to be building one another up, encouraging one another. Like, when we come together as a body of believers, it's just, you realize just by being in the room, you bring encouragement to each other, just by you being in the room. You know, like Rex is on his vacation. I miss Rex and all of his ways, you know? By the way, he's a board member, so I can pick on him. He's like, you know, he's all, I appreciate that. He's so free and so worried. You know what that does me? Encourages me. It builds me up just to watch him. I have to sit up front because that's all I'll be thinking about. Look at all these people. It's amazing. I'll be so distracted because that's what we're supposed to do, encourage one another, build each other up. But not only, yes, how about this one? Ephesians chapter 4. Here's a different take on this scripture. Verse 29, no foul language should come from your mouth. Amen. Don't be cussing. Is that what he's talking about? But only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. maybe that foul language he's talking about. I mean, there's other places where he talks about coarse language. There's other places. But this scripture is actually saying he's calling foul language the way we speak and tear down other people.
Right.
That's the context of the scripture. That the way we speak to one another, our words should be good for building each other up. So it gives grace to those who hear. We are called to be an encourager, one who builds up. Be an encourager, one who builds up, a builder, not a destroyer, with our mouth, with what we say, how we act, what we do. You know, how so we need to ask, and it's first in the body of Christ, 100%, scripturally based. That's a scriptural philosophy. Do good, especially to those who are in the household of faith, but also to the people outside, right? That to our coworkers, to our parents, to our children, to our spouse, encouraging, building up. I heard this is going to land. This is going to land how it lands, but it's the truth. There's a certain part of the years after you've been married, that if you're not happy with your spouse, a lot of it has to do with what you've said with your mouth. I'm just going to say it. My wife knows she's the queen because I tell her she's a queen a lot, don't I? I do now. But it's part of building each other up, encouraging each other. So how do we do this? How do we do it? Practical. We use it as, let me just say, some of these things are like, oh yeah, I have good thoughts. No. Say it with your mouth.
Right.
Say it with your mouth.
Yeah.
Express appreciation, admiration, and support about the people around you. Say it. Say it. Say it. But and all the more as you see the day approaching, all the more as it gets crazier out there, that this should be a great, amazing, safe place to build each other up and encourage each other. Say encouraging things. Appreciate them. Encourage people. How about this? Encourage people to pursue their dreams. Pursue what God's called them to do. Pursue it. You can do it. I believe in you. Offer compliments. This should be like no-brainers, right? Compliments. Rachel, you did, and the team of Honduras did a great job Friday night. It was an amazing time. The bands, all the singers were great. If y'all miss it, you miss it. Eric and his band was amazing. I mean, it was a really great, great, great time, and it was all done by amazing, amazing people. Offer those compliments. Say it with your mouth. Because every one of the people that were in there, they go, oh, thanks. I'm gonna be too prideful. I'm not gonna be prideful to really own it all, but thanks. It feels good, right? It encourages you. You know, my wife says it all the time that we're called to encourage. You know what encourage means? That you build, you encourage. People who are discouraged, this world will discourage you. But through your words, you can encourage. You can build courage by what you say to other people. By other people. Listen, how about this one? Listen actively and attentively to others. You know what a great practice is? When people are talking, ask questions about what they're saying. Oh, that's amazing. So where was that again? Oh, that's fantastic. So you went fishing? Oh, really? Yeah, and you caught how big a fish? Well, that ain't nothing. No, don't say that. Don't say that. I mean, you know, Dennis had to take his baby out, but that ain't nothing, Dennis. if y'all don't know, Dennis is one of my fishing buddies. So, you know what Dennis does for me? Let me use him as an example. He says he'll call me up. He goes, hey Dave, let's go out for wings. I go, absolutely, let's do it. And we'll go out and we'll hang out. And he goes, you know what? And he says this out of his mouth. He goes, I know people just want stuff from you. They always have their issues and all that stuff. He goes, I want to just be a voice of encouragement. I just want to go out and just hang out with you. That means not that anybody's a burden. Hear me. But it's, can you imagine? Like, that's such a blessing that somebody said, hey, it's not really even about me. It's about, yeah, I just want to come out and just give you a moment. Isn't that cool? So Dennis is a good guy. So when you see him, just go, hey, Dennis, you're a great guy. It's like, Can we do that? Actually, just do it. Just go, hey, watch this. Shh. When you go back out, he goes, hey, man, I saw how you were just taking care of the baby and you just walked out there. That, like everybody. Do that. Can we do that to him? That would be amazing. Can we do that? Can we do it, please? He's still here, right? Oh. You know what? Oh, yeah. Hey, Dennis. Hey, you know what? Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Oh, wait. Hey, no. I got more. I got to hurry. Speak the truth in love, even with difficult conversations. But use it. Like when you say hard things to people, have empathy towards them. Have compassion towards them. We're never speak the truth. Never. Right? But when we speak the truth, I always say it like this. Do I want to be right or do I want to be helpful? Do I want to be right or do I want to be helpful? Because I can be right and a jerk. But I want to be right and helpful. I want to help people see maybe a different point of view or a different or a thing. But speak the truth, 100%. How about this? Use kind and respectful language. Hope and speak words of hope and encouragement. Pray for each other. Actually pray for them. Maybe when somebody says, hey, will you pray for me about this? Just grab their hand right where they're at and just pray. Pray. Express gratitude. When you pick your kids up today, offer gratitude because you got to have them. Be parents, any time that you can be, have a moment away from your kids is a blessing. Amen? Especially when they're young. It is what it is. Express gratitude. Oh, and offer words of forgiveness. I forgive you. I forgive you. Will you forgive me? I was wrong. Wrong. I can do this by the grace of the Lord. Say it. You know what? Own your part. Own your part and admit your part. We live in a nasty, nasty world. It's nasty out there right now. I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about the weather. It's nasty out there. People are saying, oh, my goodness, all kind of stuff. Like, we can be lights in the world. And what we own is our part to change it. I love, we had a guy in our church, and he made it a goal. Every person he'd run into, whether it was a waitress or the person at Walmart or whoever it was, he said they had a frown on their face. He goes, it was my goal to make them smile. I love that. I love that. So what about all the people who don't respond like you'd want them to respond? You say, I was wrong. And they give you all the reasons why you were right. Yep, you were wrong. And let me tell you why you were wrong. I don't think you fully expressed all your wrongness. Right? Let me help you with your wrongness. How do we respond to that kind of person? How do we respond to people who they won't receive our kindness and our love? And like, you know, there was a time, I think, especially in the South, where people were just kind-hearted to each other. You know, we did things, we're nice. Like, you know, now like somebody like, you know, happened to me the other day. I literally like cut somebody off, didn't mean to. And I just go, hey, I'm sorry. And he gave me the finger salute. And I'm like, I'm really like, I told you I'm sorry. And you had to go there, right? Like some people are not going to respond always. So what do you do with that? Because what we want to do is go, I'm not doing it anymore. But I'm securing God's love for me. So Mother Teresa, there was a poem that she kind of actually modified a little bit. And it goes like this. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and make some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy it overnight. Build anyway. If you find sincerity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, this is what Mother Teresa says, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. We live at the service of the King. And we live at His will. Like the world can be the world, but not so the church. We're called to something different. And we're called to live as He would have us live. And when people reject you and people don't respond in kindness to your kindness and they don't respond the way you hope that they would, it's never between you and them anyway. It's between you and God. How you treat other people and your relationships, the way we relate with one another. Remember, this whole thing, we said it the first week, this whole thing is built. We were born for relationships. And this world will do everything in its power to destroy its relationship that we have with each other. My wife and I, we'll teach on marriage at one point. I talk about marriage all the time, but you know what? You know what my wife and I say all the time to each other? We look at each other and we go, it's you and me. It's you and me. And though the world's crazy all around them, my most important relationship is with her. And it's you and me. So my words matter. How I treat her matters. How I treat my daughter, how I treat my amazing son-in-law. I'll take the in-law off, my son. How I treat the people around me, it matters to God. It matters to Him. Julie says it like this. She says, you know what? She says, one day I'll stand before God and give an account of the way I treated my spouse. One day we'll stand and before God, and we'll give an account by the way we treat, not just our spouse, but the people around us. How did we show Him to the world? And as we've learned over the last couple of weeks, it's all boils down to, Eric, you can come on up. It all really boils down to our relationship with God. Love God and love people. Love God. And love the people around us. Doesn't mean we always have to like them. Doesn't mean we always have to hear me. Doesn't mean we're always going to get along with them. But every human, every person has value before the Lord, has value because they're created in the image of God. Scripture says that God so loved the world that He gave. And our job is to show people the love of God. Amen? Let's all stand together. He came and He did die for our sins too. There's that part of it. So why don't you close your eyes right where we're at? And I want you to ask yourself this question. Nope. Don't ask yourself. I don't know that any of us, including myself, are good enough to ask ourselves how good we're doing. Either we'll be too hard on ourselves or we won't be hard enough on ourselves. So once you just write, just you have the Holy Spirit. You're a follower of Jesus in this room. You have the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Just say, Holy Spirit, what can I do better this week? I hear this. I think we're all mature enough to hear this. it's not the response from the other person that you're after. But it is amazing what kindness will do. Matter of fact, a lot of the trust that I broke in our relationship with Julie was gained by my mouth and words, and what I said and what I did. So do it anyway. Say this, say, God, will you help me see people the way you see people? Give me your eyes to see others. Ask again, God, what's the one thing I can do better this week? Thank you, God. We love you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you lead us and guide us, and you're changing us from glory to glory. I thank you, God, that you are so patient with us. You're so patient with us in our lives. And God, you're patient in how you don't throw all of it at us at once, but God, you grow us from glory to glory to glory to glory. So God, we thank you that you're patient with us. And we ask, God, that you would change us into your image. God, that we would shine the light of who you are everywhere we go. We thank you, God. Thank you that you love us. And God, we're secure in your love for us. So we can handle, what can man do to me? What can another human do to me? But God, you're for me and you love me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I thank you for that, God. I thank you for that confidence that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.